you're with us for the morning show as we talk about diets and get inspiration for healthy eating. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In our country, almost 40% of adults are obese. Almost half of all adult Americans have heart disease. What does your typical diet consist of? How do you make sure you have both healthy and balanced meals? Are you trying a new diet? What do you want to know about it? We're at 800-642-1234. Donna Weihoffen is a retired senior nutritionist at UW Hospital and Clinics and UW Carbone Cancer Center. She's the author of 5 cookbooks. Donna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let's first look at anti-inflammatory foods, because there's new research out saying that when you eat red meat, processed meat, other foods with, you know, this inflammatory potential, that you're really putting yourself at higher risk for heart disease. So which foods would you say prioritize for their anti-inflammatory purposes?
Well, first of all, anti-inflammatory diets, you know, what does it really mean? We throw that word around, but I wonder what people think it means. And because inflammation is part of a normal body's response to infection. So it's a good thing to have inflammation when you have an infection. The white blood cells start the repairing process. But for some people, there's a low-grade kind of inflammation spread throughout the body, which isn't causing any particular problems, but it can do damage to your heart and it can increase your risk of other diseases such as diabetes and cancer and other chronic conditions. So we're trying to kind of rev the body down. And what revs the body up is your question. What are the foods that are causing inflammation? And I think you can think of 3 things: anything highly processed, overly greasy, or super sweet isn't a good idea if you have inflammation. So that means less processed meats, less high fatty meats, less saturated fats, less sweets or sugars. So mainly those are the things that kind of rev us up, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
How can you strike a balance, though? Because sometimes you're going to gravitate to those types of foods.
Well, because the alternative is better. We're going to talk about foods that taste even better than that. And they are the things that we call the Mediterranean diet, which fits perfectly together. The anti-inflammatory diet is the Mediterranean diet. And the good news about the Mediterranean diet is that it's tasty and good. It's a easy way of eating. It's something you're going to enjoy. And it doesn't mean you can't ever have processed meats or you can't ever have sweets or desserts. It's just that that's a much smaller part of your diet.
So what is in the Mediterranean diet that makes it so good and makes you really look to it as the one that brings us a healthy lifestyle for eating?
Well, actually, there isn't really one Mediterranean diet. It's kind of Mediterranean way of eating. The Mediterranean way of eating was developed over the years by all of the countries that touch the Mediterranean Sea. And if you can picture the Mediterranean Sea and all the countries that touch it, it's things like Italy, and you go around to Greece and to Turkey and to Egypt and to Northern Africa and Spain and France. So all of these countries' cuisines have kind of melded together over the years, spices and their ideas for healthy eating, into eating the Mediterranean way. And so that's kind of what one of the programs I used to give, present to people. It is not one specific diet.
Not one specific diet, but are there things that we can change in our meals today that would speak to the Mediterranean way of eating?
Absolutely. That's the big part. There's a couple, and we'll do maybe like 5 points. Eating more plant foods, that's the basis of the Mediterranean diet. Plants, they are anti-inflammatory. And that means more fruits and vegetables. And the more colorful, the better. Because the color in the fruits and vegetables are what are phytonutrients. And those are the things that are healthiest for us and fight inflammation. So really colorful. And any fruit and vegetable is great. And other plants would be whole grains, like oatmeal and brown rice and whole grain bread. Beans, They're high in fiber and antioxidants. Like we're talking about the black beans, the pinto beans, and lentils, and lastly, nuts. So under the plants are fruits and vegetables, whole grains, beans, and nuts. So that's the number one. And how fun is that to have all of those things in your diet?
You can really mix it up.
And the number two is, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can really mix it up even with that.
Oh, yes. Like a healthy breakfast I'm going to have after the air. It's one of my favorite breakfasts. It's oatmeal. And I cook it just 1 minute in the microwave. And I add on top of that, I add a little brown sugar. So it doesn't mean you can't have sugar. And then I have a variety of fruits that I always put on top of my oatmeal, strawberries or blueberries or blackberries or whatever I have in the refrigerator. And that is like the super healthy diet. Doesn't mean you have to have oatmeal every day, but it's one of the examples of a healthy breakfast.
We're talking with Donna Wyhoffen, nutritionist, author of cookbooks. She's our guide this hour to healthy eating and clarity on what diets call for, what they can do for us. Taking your questions on your diet at 800-642-1234. Donna, what happens if you avoid meat altogether? Because there are diets out there saying, just take out the meat. What does that do?
You don't really have to do that. Lean meat is absolutely fine. They're like pork tenderloin and chicken, and all of those things are extremely lean and do not have to be out of the diet. We shouldn't live on meat like years ago when meat and potatoes was the basis of many people's diet. But the second point in the Mediterranean diet, which leads right into this, is that you should be eating more fish, healthy fats. We call them omega-3s. That's just a chemical term for the construction of that particular fat. And it's found in salmon, which most people love salmon, tuna, sardines. Whoever thought that sardines would be a healthy food? But so substituting more often fish for meat, but doesn't mean you have to give up meat completely. So eat less meat is what the thing we say.
All right. So maybe once or twice a week, just cutting down on meat. But which meats have the most protein if you are going to eat meat?
Well, all meats have the same amount of protein per unit. So it doesn't really matter which meat you choose. So lean pork and lean beef is, anytime you add fat, you're going to dilute some protein. So you want it as lean as possible. But other protein foods that you might eat for protein and less meat would be eggs. And we really do think eggs have an anti-inflammatory property. So here we are eggs good or bad? We're on the track to say eggs in moderation are good.
Eggs in moderation are good. How do you like to fix your eggs?
How do you like to fix my eggs?
Yeah, how do you like to cook them?
Well, I don't like them runny.
Me neither.
My whole family knows I hate runny eggs. But otherwise, it really doesn't matter how you fix your eggs. And besides, eggs actually have lutein in it, and lutein is really good for your eyes. It's one of the things that's highest in lutein, and I used to teach a class called Eating for Your Eyes.
We're talking with nutritionist Donna Wyhoffen, our guide to diets, healthy eating tips. Are you pre-diabetic or at risk for a heart attack? Have you incorporated healthier foods into your lifestyle? What advice have you received from your doctor about what you eat? Maybe you've recently started a new diet. What can you eat? What is off limits? Will you stick to it? 800-642-1234 on all things diet. Back in a minute with Donna Wyhoffen here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about diets here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 8 months into the pandemic, are you dealing with weight gain? Or are you cooking more healthy meals at home and improving your overall nutrition? We're looking at how to eat to improve not only our body weight, but to control blood sugar, cholesterol, emotional well-being, the whole package. So what questions do you have about diets like paleo, keto, vegan? Have you tried the caveman diet? Are you trying a juice cleanse? Join in 800-642-1234. We have nutritionist Donna Wyhoffen as our guide to healthy eating. Let's bring in Jay now, who's joining us from Madison. Hi, Jay. What is your situation with your diet? Hi.
I used to weigh 360 pounds, and I dropped down. I'm about 230 right now. I'm not a nutritionist or a medical doctor or anything, but I've studied the subject of what was causing my body to just be in such poor health. And in regards to fats, what I've discovered through my reading is that it's not saturated fats that are necessarily unhealthy. It's fats that are damaged from being hot pressed, like seed oils that are heated to 500 degrees and then stored at room temperature and considered shelf stable. They actually oxidize on the shelf. And that those oxidized fats are not processed in the body properly and is causing oxidative stress. The best oils to eat, in my opinion, are coconut oil because of the vitamin E content that is an actual antioxidant that protects the oil, olive oil, and things like avocado oil, which are actually plant-based saturated fats.
Well, let's get Donna to jump in here on the shelf-stable fat situation.
I love your question because that was one of my points I was going to make next, was that what we want to have more in the Mediterranean diet is more olive oil. Avocado oil is a good one, too. We don't want all the processed oils. One of the other oils that's okay is canola oil. So I keep on my hand canola oil, olive oil, and avocado oil is fine, too. The thing about the fats is that you want some fat in your diet because otherwise you're not satisfied. So a low-fat diet is not good, but you want to have more olive oil and use it in a very healthy way. So thank you. That was a very good point that you made on that.
Ezra sent us an email saying, as a diabetic, I have trouble with balancing carbohydrates and still getting to the point where I feel full. And Ezra wants to know if you have any food recommendations that would help to achieve low carbs, but getting to the point where you feel full.
Well, one of the things is to increase more of the fat in your diet, such as olive oil. So when you're eating bread, you dip it in oil, dip it in olive oil, and you'll eat less bread and you're more satisfied because you have the oil. And also whole grains make you feel full more so than the simple grains. Like whole wheat bread will be more filling than white bread. So the whole grains will stick with you more and are much, much, much healthier. One of the other things I wanted to point out too is that herbs and spices are very important because they add antioxidants to our food. And the Mediterranean way of eating uses lots of herbs and spices. Turmeric has a good reputation, but other ones are good too. I have a cookbook called Magic Spices, and in it I use common everyday spices and then less salt, but creative cooking with more spices. And by the way, during this pandemic, spice manufacturers are running out of spices. They say that there's a run on spices because people are at home and they're cooking and they're using more spices, which is really good news.
Well, that's a good sign there. But you mentioned salt. How can we reduce salt in our diet but still make our foods not taste so bland?
But that's with the herbs and spices. That's the beauty of adding a whole variety of spices to your foods. So that's definitely the way to do it. And actually, salt is an acquired taste. If you just start cutting down more slowly, pretty soon you think, oh, wow, that is much saltier than I thought it was. And you really will wean off of salt if you try very hard.
Also,
good news.
Sorry about that. I've heard also the recommendation that taste your food before you salt it.
Oh, absolutely. And that, I know my husband sits down and you put salt on and I said, you haven't even tasted it. How do you know it needs salt? So yes, that's number one irritant in my house too. Taste your food first. Absolutely. What a good point.
What else would you like to add about the issue over salt? Because salt can certainly wreak havoc on our body.
Well, that's You really need to get used to having less salt taste. So do it gradually. But and that's the only thing I can ask you to do. Add more pepper. You know, use the pepper shaker. There's one other food I wanted to point out that's good that you're going to love. It's coffee. And coffee contains anti-inflammatory properties. It's actually made from beans, and it's thought that it has as many anti-inflammatory properties as broccoli. And so there's, if you like your coffee, there is no reason to give up coffee. So you can see this got all kinds of good news today. We don't have to take away all foods, and we can still be eating healthy.
But that cream and sugar in the coffee...
Well, yes, it shouldn't be cream. It's going to be skim milk, and you don't need sugar. And if you're going to, you could use Splenda, but try to wean yourself off of that too. I used to drink cream in my coffee, and I just started weaning myself off because it was kind of a bother to ask the waitress to bring the cream all the time. So I thought, wow, I can wean myself off of this. But a good treat with your coffee is a touch of chocolate. And dark chocolates also have anti-inflammatory properties. So I am just full of good news today with the coffee and the chocolate and the fruits and vegetables and nuts and beans. Wow, what a healthy diet.
So how do you incorporate a little chocolate into your coffee? How do you integrate coffee notes?
Well, I have a little chocolate treat with my coffee.
Oh, I see.
A little piece of chocolate, dark chocolate, and that's my treat.
What is it about dark chocolate that makes it better than, you know, milk chocolate or some of our other treats that we might have as sweets?
It has more of the cocoa bean in it. The milk chocolate has more sugar and more milk in it. So it's just a higher amount of cocoa. And that's the cocoa is the good part. The sugar and the sweets are the bad part.
So with dark chocolate, is there a certain percentage of cocoa that we should hit as a target?
No, just a dark one that tastes good, because okay. If it gets too dark, you don't like it. So find as dark as possible that you still enjoy the taste. And number one is taste. You're not going to follow any diet unless it's tasty over a long period of time. And so that's the reason this diet wins over any other diet you'll ever try, because this one is doable and it's tasty. So it's something you can stick to.
Let's bring in Chris, who's joining us from Adams this morning. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I have fibromyalgia and MS, and I'm in chronic pain 24/7. And it has to be ameliorated somehow. And so I've really been exploring an anti-inflammatory diet. And some of the things your guest mentioned are actually inflammatory foods. And people should also be avoiding nightshade vegetables if they have pain issues. But there's a bunch of foods that actually help your inflammation. And I'm just going to list them because there's not very much there. It's fresh pineapple, fresh ginger, fresh papaya, turmeric, and sweet potatoes. And if you include those in your diet on a daily basis, I can guarantee you that if you have either rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis, your pain will be diminished.
Chris, thank you. Donna, what do you think about that?
Well, that's a good tip. Those are very good foods to add to your diet. I don't think that everybody's going to find it magic. Their inflammation and pain of fibromyalgia and arthritis doesn't necessarily go away for everybody with diet alone. And diet helps. And that those are great tips. I forgot what she said was the thing that caused inflammation. To remember what you said anyway.
Well, I what I'm thinking here too is we're getting close to Thanksgiving, and sweet potatoes are something that is a dish on our table. So, you know, that too might be something to think about.
I have a wonderful recipe for it's like a pie with it's apples on the bottom with like cinnamon and a little bit of sugar on the bottom. And then it says like sweet potatoes on top. And it's a wonderful vegetable. It's a creative way to serve your sweet potatoes. But there's all kinds of fun ways to serve sweet potatoes. So it's a very good suggestion. Yes.
What about the pineapple and the papaya, turmeric? What qualities do they have?
They're fine. I do not know that we have found any evidence that they're better than other fruits and vegetables. So I can't quite go along with that. Turmeric is anti-inflammatory. It's a little hard to get a lot of turmeric in your diet because it's in spices that you don't want to use all the time. Yeah. And you'd have to eat a whole bunch. Not everybody likes curry, and that's where you find turmeric. They do sell now turmeric capsules, and some people think that that's helpful. There's nothing bad about taking turmeric, and that we don't find any side effects to it. So if you want to try that, it would be something that you could try, because turmeric definitely is an anti-inflammatory.
Nutritionist Donna Wyhoffen, our guide to diets, making better food choices. What do you consider to be a healthy, balanced breakfast? Do you eat oatmeal or eggs? Do you make your oatmeal from scratch or add water to the microwave packets? What do you top with your oatmeal? Let's talk diets, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Donna Wyhoffen after a news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss how to achieve a balanced diet. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The weight loss market was worth a record $72 billion last year, but analysts say the number of dieters has fallen. We've known a long time that eating right and exercising matter most. So when you've been stressed in these months, have you turned to comfort food? Are you ready to set food and nutrition goals, but you're confused about what diet is best for your life? Join in your questions on diets, 800-642-1234. We have nutritionist Donna Wyhoffen as our guide to healthy eating. Tom is joining us now from Buffalo County. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a penchant to sometimes sit down and eat a can of canned pineapple chunks, you know. And I just wondered if canned vegetables are any good for you or bad for you or of no use whatsoever.
Canned fruit, canned vegetables,
That's a wonderful question. Thank you. Fresh fruits and vegetables are probably best when you can get them right, when you can get them fresh. But frozen and canned are processed right at the peak of their freshness. So yes, they are very good. Frozen probably beats out canned a little bit, but canned pineapple, I'm sure, is neck and neck with frozen and fresh. The downside of canned vegetables is that they usually add salt. But otherwise, do not be happy that we have fresh vegetables that we can get year-round, either frozen or canned. So they're great.
Now, Tom, do you have those pineapples that are in a syrup, or are they in their natural juice?
No, I get the natural juice ones.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Good job. Enjoy it. Another thing you can sit down and eat for snacks are nuts. You know, I've talked about nuts before. Nuts have calories, so we have to watch out for that. But they are very satisfying, and there are some studies that show that if you eat nuts, that you actually can eat less at meals. But watch the nuts that you do eat. And when I'm talking about nuts, peanuts also are in that category. So if you like peanuts, maybe a handful of nuts a day you can limit yourself to is something that you could try to do.
Oh, I love those cashews. Those are my favorite.
Oh, yeah, all nuts are good. People will say, which one should I have? And I'll say, every nut is a little different. Every nut is good. So whichever one you like.
I'll take an almond, too. That's good.
How about macadamia nuts? Ooh, wow.
Oh, those are good. Tom, thanks. Let's bring in Lou now in Ashland. Hi, Lou.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to talk about milk products. I was vegetarian and then went vegan. December 8th, I'll be vegan 2 years. And when I gave up the eggs and the milk products in that last change, that's when all the aches and pains went away. I'm 56 now, and I feel better than I did in my late 20s, early 30s. I have a couple old injuries, and my range of motion is much, much better. It's pretty normal as opposed to before. And so many changes that I saw when going from vegetarian to vegan and giving up, especially the milk products. The weight came off, the aches and pains went away, and you just feel better. Your skin is much better. Muscle development is spot on, if not more, than when I ate meat. So overall health is much, much better, and I really can't understand why I didn't do this sooner.
Lou, thank you for that. Donna, going from vegetarian to vegan has made all the difference in Lou's life.
Everybody is different, and some people do very, very well on a vegan diet. Other people would not be able to do it. It's a difficult diet to follow. And we haven't found that for the majority of people, it's a diet that you that we necessarily think you should have to do. But when it works for somebody, it's just it's happiness. And I'm very glad it worked for her. But I wouldn't say that everybody needs to try a vegan diet.
So no, the diet is about no dairy, no eggs. No dairy, no meat. Are there other restrictions?
It's anything animal.
Anything animal.
So even honey. Honey is made by an animal. So even honey is restricted. So it's a difficult restricted diet. But for many people live a very healthy lifestyle on a vegan diet. And it's wonderful if you can do it. But not necessary.
Let's go to Marty now in Douglas County. Wants to talk about weight gain. Hi, Marty.
Hi. Well, for everyone out there who says, oh, I wish I had to gain weight. No, you don't. Being underweight is just as unhealthy as being overweight, and many of us out here need to gain weight. Past a certain age, I found it was harder to gain. I'm in my late 60s right now, and I've been trying to gain 10 pounds for 2 years. Doing it in a healthy way is very challenging, and it's incredibly frustrating. Every magazine cover, everything on the news, you know, radio programs, I'm not being disrespectful to your show, believe me. Talk about losing weight. Let's talk about gaining weight for a bit, shall we? I'm wondering what your guest might have to say. And I know, back to the sweet potatoes, healthy fats, avocados, nuts, those things I know. Any other advice would be really appreciated. I'm sure I'm not the only one out here.
Yeah, great.
Issue. Thanks so much.
Great point, Marty. Thank you for bringing that. What would you suggest, Donna?
That is a problem. And I used to work with the chemo patients and who were going through cancer, and that was one of their problems, too. It was hard to gain weight, to keep your weight on. And the foods you suggested are the good ones, but you don't have to. Sweet potatoes, you can get a little sick of eating a lot of sweet potatoes. But I would always recommend the nuts. You can't believe how fast the calories add up with nuts. And so I would tell my chemo patients to keep a bowl of nuts and just walk around and you snack on them. Every time you walk by, you snack on a nut, a couple nuts. They will add up in calories faster than, in a healthy way, faster than any other food you could possibly eat. Also, you know, just using much more oil, much more of the olive oils, you know, always dip your bread in it. And eat smaller amounts more often, you know, just be a little snacker. You can be a snacker and still eat healthy. So, yes, I know there are some people that I remember when I was in high school, I was trying to gain weight, believe it or not. And it was really difficult. I mean, I was very skinny and I wanted to be fatter and it was very hard. So I can sympathize with that. I can't sympathize anymore, but yes, it is an issue. But please, I think the best thing are the nuts.
We're talking with nutritionist Donna Wyhoffen, our guide to healthy nutrition, answering all of your going on a diet now what questions. Do you have questions about nutrition? Are there eating habits that you're struggling with? How have you tried to switch up your diet? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Donna, we make up a lot of smoothies at our house, lots of fruit smoothies. You know, there is a diet out there that's a liquid cleanse diet that where you drink lots of smoothies. What do you think about those?
Smoothies are fine if they're just part of your normal diet. You do not have to cleanse. We have no medical evidence that the body needs cold cleansing. Your body is very efficient at doing that all by itself, and there's no reason to fast and to just eat fruits and vegetables for a couple of days in a row or to go on some sort of, quote, cleanse diet. So I really can't support the eating smoothies for that purpose. I can support it for the, you know, it's fast and it's easy and it gets lots of good foods in. If you're doing a lot of vegetables in the smoothies, you're not getting the fiber. I prefer personally, just to eat the fruits and vegetables without putting them in a smoothie. I just think it's so much more fun to eat a whole blueberry and a whole strawberry and to eat the vegetables and get my fiber in the same way at the same time. So if you love them, go for it, but don't think that you have to do it for a cleansing purpose.
Could smoothies also add protein, though? Are there protein powders that would help, get that nutritional intake in your smoothie?
Yes, you can add protein powders. But the majority of people in our country don't have a protein problem. Most of us get plenty of protein in our diet, and you really don't have to put in huge amounts of protein. In fact, if you use a lot of protein powder, it could be too much. You have to get rid of this extra nitrogen that you've put in your body in the form of protein. So I, again, prefer just eating whole foods rather than adding extra protein, unless you have a problem, unless you have an appetite problem or there's some other reason to have extra protein. But the majority of us do not need extra protein.
You know, we're still living in those fast times, even though we're staying at home, hunkering down. What are some alternative fast food options that can still give you a balanced meal?
Fast food options. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I always have on hand, if I'm hungry, I buy English muffins, the high fiber ones. They're, I think it's like 8 grams of fiber in this muffin. And I love crunchy peanut butter. And I remember I said peanuts, and peanuts are good. So that's one of my snacks that could be my lunch or could be my breakfast, but it's a go-to fun thing to have on hand. And I keep the English muffins in the freezer at all times. And anytime I want to, I get one out and smear it full of peanut butter. So that's one of my fast food things.
Yeah, I would top it with bananas as well. That would be good.
That would be good, too. I have
or, unless you're not an
bananas.
Elvis fan.
I don't like bananas.
Oh, dear. Well, I certainly love to top my peanut butter with bananas. And, that's certainly something my kids have developed as well as they start slicing bananas on top of their peanut butter toast. Toast always
perfect.
Being a good option in our family when the meal isn't up to par for the little ones. We have nutritionist Donna Weihoffen as our guide to diets, healthy eating tips. Do you have questions about nutrition? Are there eating habits that you're struggling with? How have you tried to switch up your diet? Are you eating more fruits and vegetables? What about those nuts? Join in. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Donna Weihoffen here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with nutritionist Donna Weihoffen. She's an expert on the role of food and nutrition in helping to deal with cancer or deal with heart disease or obesity, age-related eye diseases, other chronic conditions. We're looking at what we can do today during COVID to eat better and improve our overall nutrition. Donna, what do you make of the paleo diet craze, the Stone Age diet? It's been called the caveman diet. What do you know about that diet?
Well, I just know that it's a diet that's somewhat popular. It's nothing that I think we have to promote medically. It's a diet that's somewhat restrictive. I'm not in favor of restrictive diets. I'm not in favor of you can't eat this or you can't eat that, or you have to eat large amounts make the diet unbalanced. The Mediterranean diet is balanced in all ways. It has protein and carbohydrates and fats, and it's easy. So people do it. They try it. If they like it, everybody has their own thing, and if they feel good on it, it's fine. But it's nothing that medically that we promote.
Okay. Linda is here from Milwaukee now. Hi, Linda. What would you like to add?
Hi there. I can't let this radio show end without me recommending my favorite of all snacks, and that is jicama. And it is spelled J-I-M-A. And at Fendix, where I grocery shop, I can find it. But if I don't find it, I always go to the produce section and ask if they have any, and they will cut it for me. And, oh, my gosh, just having jicama as a snack is absolutely the best treat.
What a great idea. I bet most people haven't even tried it. You just eat it. You eat it raw, like a carrot, right? You cut it in little sticks?
Yes, I sure do. In fact, Fendix sells it already cut in strips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it is absolutely wonderful. And the produce section there just goes out of their way. If they don't have it, they go out of their way for me. They cut it, put it in the plastic container. They usually also add a lime, a slice of a lime, which I don't like lime, so I always take that out. But I am always munching on that.
I was curious if you dip it in anything, Linda, or do you just eat it raw?
I usually dip it. I eat it raw, but if I have some vegan mayonnaise, I will dip it in the vegan mayonnaise also.
Well, you're making me smile because that's a fun idea. I would never have thought of that, but it's just a tasty treat. It's low calories. It's like eating carrot sticks, but it's a little bit more interesting than carrot sticks. So what a great idea. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. Dan called from Boscobel, couldn't stay with us. And Dan says mental health goes a long way to healthy weight and weight loss. And says Dan's in a new relationship, lost 50 pounds and is not dieting. So good news there from Dan. How can our diet affect our emotional well-being?
Well, if you're restricting yourself, I think that that affects our emotional well-being, and especially in these times of bad news everywhere. If you go on a diet and you're restricting yourself, you're just making yourself even more miserable. One, you know, if I decide I'm not going to have any sugar, well, pretty soon I'm really craving that sugar. I want that. I'm going to somehow think about it all the time. I'm not allowed. I shouldn't have it. Don't do that. If you want a little bit, have a little bit, but just overall eat a healthy diet. I mean, let's just be happy with our diet. There's enough unhappiness around. Let's be happy.
Do you have any tips, Donna, for helping us shop for groceries intentionally so we don't put too many processed foods or bad things in our cart?
Well, I know the number one thing that we all know is don't go when you're hungry. Every time I go to the grocery store when I'm hungry, I pick up one of those rotisserie chickens. It's like, go past them and I can't give them up. And it's like, really? I didn't really need that, but I was so hungry. It smelled so good. You don't make good decisions when you're hungry or when you're with your husband or with your kids. I think it's just better to shop alone and make a list. I have a list at all times going, and to try to stick to the list. And then once in a while, you find some little things on the side. Oh, we haven't talked about cheese. Cheese is part of the Mediterranean diet. But in the Mediterranean countries, they eat a stronger cheese. They don't usually eat large amounts of a mild cheese. And so they get away with eating cheese by eating like extra sharp cheese or cheese that's been aged for many years and eating it in smaller amounts. So cheese can be part of your diet, but the fatty cheese should be limited. Stick with mozzarella or farmer's cheese or ricotta or Parmesan cheese, blue cheese. Those are lower in fat, and try to find the lower fat cheeses. By the way, I want to question, did you put some recipes up on your website?
Yeah, we do have a recipe, one of your recipes up, and you can see it at WPR.org/mornings. I'm just seeing here, Bernie sent us an email and is listening in Dublin, Ireland this morning. Bernie says, loves breakfast muesli with milk and fresh fruit, especially berries. Recently had dental treatment and couldn't chew as well for a few days. Put the muesli Musil in a small food chopper or in a coffee grinder and was still able to enjoy that oatmeal dish. What would you suggest there with oatmeal?
Well, the oatmeal is, I would suggest buying the regular oatmeal, either the regular or the quick cooking, but you don't have to buy the oatmeal in those little cups that are pre-cooked, so it cooks super fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's better. There's a little bit more whole grain in the ones that are in the big boxes and that you cook yourself. I cook my oatmeal in milk, so I get a little bit of extra milk in it. But I do use the quick cooking because it's fast and it cooks in 2 minutes in the microwave. And then I have my fun breakfast. You could even put a tiny bit of maple syrup on it instead of brown sugar. But again, I put a small amount of sugar because that makes me happy. You don't have to give it up completely.
We have your oatmeal, apple, and walnut bake as a recipe at WPR.org/mornings. What do you love about this bake?
Oh, I love this recipe because you make it ahead in a 9x13 pan. And then you cut off a little piece every day and you put on top of that yogurt and fresh fruit. And it's a go-to breakfast and it's already made for you. And actually I freeze part of it. So I freeze it in sections. And so I take out a little section each morning and I've got my breakfast already made for me. And with adding yogurt and the fresh fruit, what could be better? It is a phenomenally healthy breakfast and it tastes good too. And you've made it ahead of time.
Yeah, that making ahead of time really helps because then you're not going into breakfast not knowing what you're trying to grab and go with.
Right.
And breakfast, it has to be quick and straightforward.
That has apples and oatmeal in it. And it's super tasty. I guarantee it. You'll love it.
If there's one thing we can do today to change our diets, what would you suggest? What would it be?
It would be try to eat some fruits and vegetables at every meal. Every meal, think of how I'm going to add some fruits and vegetables to that meal, because that is the main thing that is deficient in the majority of people's diets. So don't go have lunch without some fruit or vegetable. Always fruits and vegetables at dinner, breakfast. That would be the number one recommendation.
And in our last few seconds left, how would you suggest we get more water in, that we drink more water, especially if we prefer to, you know, maybe drink soda?
That's a good question. You really have to make a decision to give up soda. Soda, mm-hmm. There's absolutely no nutritional value. There is no reason in the world you should be drinking soda. So the sparkling waters maybe that are flavored would be an option, or just plain keep water in the refrigerator. Water's hard for me to drink too, but I try to make a conscious effort to drink some water between each meal. It's a conscious thing. You have to make a decision to do it.
Well, Donna, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure. It was very fun. Thank you for all the questions.
Donna Wyhoffen, a nutritionist, author of 5 cookbooks. We have 6 of her recipes, by the way, including penne pasta with salmon, fresh spinach, and peppers at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, it's 1A on the pandemic. The U.S. still setting new case records. They ask, what can we expect from a new administration? 1A asked that question next. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.